I'm Bob Franklin. This is Like It Is. My focus on today's show is Oakland Exchange, a partnership my guest, Trevor Parham, established with National Basketball Association player Jaylen Brown of the world champion Boston Celtics and Jason Kidd, the head basketball coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Oakland Exchange is focused on bridging the racial gap in cities across the country with economic opportunities in underserved communities. Here's my guest, Trevor Parham, CEO of OakStop and executive director of Oakland Exchange.
Tell me a bit about your background and how you became interested and vested in OakStop and Oakland Exchange.
Yeah, certainly. So I'm born and raised here in Oakland. Always explored work at the intersection of business, creativity, and technology, and have been an entrepreneur since a teenager, started my first business at age 14. Throughout my career, what I found was that I could use that combination of business, creativity, and technology to cultivate and stimulate community. And so after having a successful career working as a creative in the technology industry, alongside other sort of philanthropic efforts, I decided that given that I had quite a bit of experience now, both in business and in social impact, that I could bring those skills together to create a business of my own that would incorporate both my skill set, but also my lived experience and understanding of what the Oakland community could benefit from. And that's where OakStop came from.
And we're certainly going to talk about OakStop in a minute or two. But I'm curious, I see in your bio that I find very interesting, the phrase, harness the power of community. And I'm just curious to know if you could elaborate on how you have gone about to harness the power of the community. And I'm presuming the community being Oakland, a very diverse community. Talk a bit about how you have gone about to harness the power of the community and what that means to you and to the community.
Certainly. So when I think about harnessing the power of community, a lot of what comes to mind is all of the talent that I was exposed to in my immediate community and in my circle as I was growing and developing professionally, and how all of that talent is what really inspired me and pushed me to further develop my skills, whether those were creative skills or skills in technology or other business skills. I was surrounded by so much talent. And I started to realize that if we started to pool that talent and get all that talent in the same place, the same space, that then it was actually a very powerful force to be reckoned with. And so when I think about harnessing that power of community, it's number one, bringing together talent to be able to accomplish larger goals and to solve problems. But also it's about leverage and community buy-in to be able to demonstrate to broader audiences, whether it's government audiences or other community or political audiences, to be able to demonstrate that there is a critical mass of people that are all aligned behind one particular movement or one particular set of values. And when you get that sort of critical mass there, you actually start to turn heads and get people to recognize that what you're doing is important. My premise in creating this work is that people are valuable. So at the point then that you bring together large groups of valuable people, you then start to demonstrate that the needs and the opinions and desires of those people collectively, as a collective, that is power. And so we always focus on how can we aggregate the power of the people in terms of their talent, but also in terms of their voice to be able to make change for our communities.
And underserved community, demonstrating to individuals who reside in these underserved communities, that they in fact have power. When do you, or how have you seen that individuals in these communities realize that they too have power and they can make a positive change and are making a positive change?
So I think one of the key elements for underserved communities to realize that they have power is when you create a sense of belonging. And that sense of belonging, it tells a person who's coming from an underserved community that now, where previously they may have felt like an outsider, they come into a place or an environment where they're told that they matter and that their culture and that their lived experience is actually prioritized in that particular environment. And by doing so, and then by allowing them to see that there are others in that same environment that also belong, that are also being valued, and that may also even be those that are controlling those environments, leading those environments, at that point, they start to realize that now they do have power. They have a voice, they have people that listen to them, they have a platform, and they also recognize that others that represent those same underserved communities are also controlling and governing that place in that space. And that was a big component of the work we were doing early on with Oakstop, is we were demonstrating that members of the Black community, which was seen as underserved, had the ability to secure and control space. And by doing so and creating that sense of belonging for several others in the Black community and other communities of color in Oakland, it helped people to realize that there was a path to power. And that path to power was place and our ability to secure, maintain, and elevate place.
Well, let's have you talk a bit more about Oakstop. Oakstop's a nonprofit. Talk a bit about the creation of that. How did that come into creation? And its primary purposes and purpose.
Certainly. So in creating Oakstop, the goal was to figure out a strategy for both securing a lot of our cultural and creative talent in Oakland, while also providing them with a platform where they could showcase that talent and showcase the value that they brought to the economy here in Oakland, which at the time was at a transitional point with both increased interest from the technology industry, as well as increased interest from the real estate industry, both of those major industries pouring value into Oakland, sometimes at the expense of the local communities of color, particularly artists and creatives. So the goal was to secure a space that would then allow artists and creatives to demonstrate the value that they too could offer as all this additional resource and interest from various industries was pouring into Oakland. And we understood at that time that displacement was a major concern, particularly for the Black community in Oakland, which at one time had been close to 60% of Oakland's population and then has since declined now to less than 20%. And so at that time, the focus was, how do we make sure that we can respond to these conversations about displacement and do so in a way that not only secures position for Black community, but also allows us to play a role and a leading role in the way that the landscape of Oakland was changing at that time.
Well, talk about how you, in the interim, very early on in the development of Oakstop, sell that, present that to the individuals who eventually have begun to support the initiative and currently support the initiative. How did you sell it? How did you get the individuals and the entities that needed to get on board and get behind this particular idea to get behind it?
So we really did harness the power of community. We used and worked with those who were already working with us and surrounding us, friends, other creative collaborators, other colleagues, a lot of folks that we knew and trusted that wanted to support whatever it is we were doing. Those were the first folks that used Oakstop. And in turn, we created Oakstop for those folks. And in doing so, we were then able to create this critical mass of Black and Brown artists and activists in Oakland, many of which were already highly respected in the community, by demonstrating that this was a place that was built for and by the community. And in doing that, then that attracted more of our own community to the space. And those were really our first customers and our first clients. With that, then we were able to attract a sort of a larger circle of people to Oakstop as customers and clients who respected the local artist culture and also respected the social implications of members of the Black community self-organizing to control space as a way to maintain a certain balance in Oakstop. So that attracted more of the nonprofit sector, even public sector organizations, and sometimes even larger corporations like Kaiser Permanente were attracted to Oakstop very early on because they said, this is something that we can get behind and support. It's not just a space where we can work or where we can gather, but it's also representative of our values in that we do want to make sure that we're able to anchor local communities. And this looks like an organization that is very much focused on that mission.
You mentioned, I was reading information, you used the phrase place-based strategies. Mm-hmm. Talk a bit about that.
So a place-based strategy is one that is really grounded, number one, in leveraging the surrounding community of people, individuals, organizations, and establishments to be able to create an environment for the community that serves and works for that environment. And so whether we're talking about place, whether we're talking about outdoor spaces or indoor spaces or a combination of both, the strategy that we're talking about when we look at a place-based strategy for community development or economic empowerment, we're talking about a strategy that convenes people in one centralized area and allows them to collaborate, to build strategies together, to save costs by sharing costs, and to also be able to recognize how else to add to that sense of place to make it attractive to others in the community and even others outside of the community, but then also to make it a place that is recognized as a center of power, meaning that if people want to introduce new resources or opportunities to Oakland, then those people that want to introduce those things recognize that the best way to do so is to appeal to that particular place. If there's a political candidate that's looking to take office, they say, well, let's actually make sure we have a presence in that place because we know that people care about that place, number one. We know that people gather in that place. So it falls under this strategy then of being able to leverage place to advance certain social agenda. Furthermore, by creating the sense of place, you're now also creating a garden, if you will, from which you can grow other initiatives, you can grow other organizations, and you can even develop talent and a workforce from within that place, because it also then has all the other resources that any new initiative or any individual or any professional would need to succeed.
The other hat that you wear, perhaps this may not be the only hat, but executive director of Exchange, helping to bridge the racial wealth gap with economic opportunities and underserved communities. That's very interesting to me because I think it's very important in terms of how we bridge the economic gap between the haves and the have-nots. And I'm interested to have you talk to our audience a bit about Exchange and how it came into existence and where you are today as a result of moving it forward.
So the Exchange is an initiative pioneered by Jaylen Brown and Jason Kidd with a national strategy to bridge the racial wealth gap. And it came about based on a statistic that Jaylen Brown read about Boston, Massachusetts, that stated that the average net wealth of a white household was measured at $250,000 as compared to the average net wealth of a black household measured at $8. And so when you look at that comparison, $250,000 as compared to $8, and this is again the net wealth of as a household, that's a differential of 30,000, which means that perhaps one group is 30,000 times less likely to succeed or 30,000 times less likely to maintain a home or their position in their city where they live. And that disparity was so great that Jaylen said, I've got to do something about this. And as a Black athlete who has just received the highest contract in the NBA history, at the time, $304 million, I have a responsibility to not only support the city associated with the team that I'm on, but I also have a responsibility to demonstrate to others around me that when Black people come into this level of wealth, they need to determine a way to respond to this racial wealth disparity. So that idea started in Boston, and shortly thereafter, Jaylen Brown met with Jason Kidd, who is from Oakland and who also went to UC Berkeley, like Jaylen went to UC Berkeley. And he said, Jason, I would like for you to join me on this mission to bridge the racial wealth gap. And I'd also like to try this in Oakland, because Oakland is a second home to me, having gone to UC Berkeley. And I know that, Jason, you're from Oakland. And he said, in many ways, I think Oakland provided a lot to me culturally. And I think it's a great place for us to launch this sort of initiative. So at that point, Jason Kidd started to assess how and where this could be done in Oakland. And when Jaylen explained that much of what they were trying to do was take on a place-based strategy, acquire real estate, create shared working environments and business incubators, as well as places for arts, culture, and support of entrepreneurs, it became evident that Oakstop had already been doing that exact work in Oakland, in downtown Oakland, for the past 10 years, such that Oakstop would serve as a perfect proof of concept for this vision that Jaylen had for Boston. So that was how Oakstop got brought into the Oakland Exchange. And given that the Oakland Exchange is focused on deploying this strategy in Oakland, particularly using Oakstop's existing platform, at that point, it made sense then for me to lead the work in Oakland as the Oakland Exchange and the executive director of the Oakland Exchange.
So how does businesses do businesses utilize or take advantage of exchange?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways that the exchange is doing its initial work towards bridging the racial wealth gap. And one of those is providing support programs for entrepreneurs. And so when we made our announcement on August 9th, 2024, we also opened up an application for entrepreneurs throughout Oakland and the Bay Area to apply for, knowing that we would accept up to 50 entrepreneurs into a program that would provide them with technical assistance. So any sorts of supports they may need to build their business infrastructure, as well as capital readiness programming, essentially the coaching and training to be able to make their business capital ready to receive capital. And then capital matching, which is focused on trying to pair and match businesses with other sources of capital that are aligned with their needs and their capabilities. Beyond all of that, we focus on providing a healthy ecosystem of other businesses and entrepreneurs that may be going through some of the same things that these other entrepreneurs are going through, such that it allows them to share their lived experience, but also collaborate and potentially work together to solve for needs that they both might have. So that's one program that the exchange is focused on, both in Oakland and in Boston. The other ways in which the exchange is focused in this early stage is on acquiring real estate. And we intend to acquire real estate that will both allow for the operation of shared space for businesses and artists and entrepreneurs, but also we're focused on acquiring real estate that can house some of these small businesses as permanent space. So whether that's a retail storefront, or even if that is more traditional commercial office space for other perhaps larger nonprofits and social services organizations that want to concentrate in downtown Oakland and be part of this place that we've been creating, the exchange wants to secure those real estate assets at a time when commercial real estate values are an all-time low, allowing us to both acquire the buildings and the assets, but then also allowing us to provide the businesses and the occupants with rates that are affordable, knowing that over time, the property value will appreciate, which will then create more value for the ownership. And the third prong of the strategy is focused on ownership. We want these same businesses and entrepreneurs and artists that we'll be supporting through the exchange to also be part owners of both the real estate and even some of the other businesses that may be invested in. So we're going to create a structure for community equity investment that allows both businesses and even, you know, everyday people to invest as low as even $100 into either real estate or into businesses, such that as the value of those assets increase, those members of the community will be benefiting from the appreciation of the activities that are happening in the community in which they're participating. So we want the entire community, not just the business owners, but anyone in the community, want them to have a sense of ownership for all of the economic value that the exchange intends to create here in downtown Oakland.
Is it too early to see measurable results, or are you seeing measurable results?
Well, there's certainly measurable results already just in terms of the response rates that we've received. Though at the same time, this strategy that we have to create $5 billion in net wealth, that's a 20-year horizon. So given that we're now roughly 2 months in, you know, there's obviously sort of a macro metric to how we're going to be evaluating the success of this strategy. However, within the last 2 months, the response that we've received, both from entrepreneurs, from others in the community, and even much larger institutions, has been overwhelming, reassuring us that not only this is something attractive, but also something that stands out qualitatively as a strategy and approach that warrants a response amongst all of the other initiatives that have been started and led over the last couple of years. We're already seeing response. For instance, we received hundreds of applications to our entrepreneurship program within 30 days. And this was both from entrepreneurs based in Oakland, but even entrepreneurs that were based in the broader Bay Area, throughout the state of California, and even throughout the country. So that alone is one metric that tells us that the work that we're doing resonates with those that are looking for ways to advance their position in society.
Outside of Boston and Oakland, you think the exchange is a model that could be utilized nationally beyond the two cities of Boston and Oakland?
Yes, the exchange is intended to be a replicable model to cities across the country and then even beyond. And our focus is to use the activities in Oakland as a proof of concept to demonstrate to other cities that this is a strategy that they could adopt, knowing that in cities across the country, there are also professional athletes, influencers, business executives, and entertainers who have wealth and means and are looking to find ways to improve their communities. And oftentimes they just simply need a strategy or a playbook that will enable them to do that. So this is a way for us to provide that strategy and playbook to other cities, knowing that not only could they implement similar strategy in their community or the cities where they're from, but then they would also be attached to a larger initiative, a larger brand, and increased visibility to bring more resources to the work that's happening in that particular city. But then also knowing that the cities themselves can exchange resources, ideas, and strategies for how to collaborate city to city as a way to address some of the needs of their communities.
Well, I'll ask my final question, a personal one. What makes you most proud of the hats that you wear?
The thing that makes me most proud of the hats that I wear is that the work has been done and the work is still here. Oftentimes, we think about things that we want to do and things that we want to achieve, and that's the state that we stay in, is thinking about them. And the work that we've done with Oakstop, the work that we're now doing with the exchange, these were all ideas at one point. However, there was something in me and others that said, we need to do this and we need to make this real. And so I'm most proud of the fact that I had a vision for Oakstop over 10 years ago, took that vision into reality, and that we're still here. And all the things that people said along the way that they didn't think we could do, from operating for more than 6 months to more than 6 years, to surviving the pandemic, to buying a building, to receiving national recognition and national presence, these are all things people always said that we would not be able to do, based on the fact that I was starting things as an individual. And so I'm proud of the fact now that, having started with a very, very small mustard seed of an idea and a very small footprint of over 4,000 square feet that has now grown to over 80,000 square feet, I'm so proud of the fact that the work is still here, it's still going, and it's something that has also inspired several other young people, business owners, artists, large-scale nonprofits, large corporations. We have inspired so many people simply based on our desire to show up and be present. And that level of persistence, I think, is what we all need in order to advance the agenda we have for improving our communities.
And I guess it's true, the expression or the statement, there's nothing as powerful as an idea whose time has come. Would you like to give contact information should listeners want to get more information about the exchange? Would you like to take the opportunity to provide that information now?
Certainly, yes. Listeners can find us at www.oaklandexchange.org.
Say it one more time.
www.oaklandexchange.org.
I want to thank you for taking some time and sharing your enlightening thoughts on the Oakland Exchange.
My guest today has been Trevor Parham, CEO of Oakstop and Executive Director of Oakland Exchange. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.